I think as parents of a child who, you know, we utilized schedules and routines as kind of our sanity, you know, just in the first year of Ella's life, you know, we took an approach that was very scheduled and, you know, the routines were very specific. And I think that it became sort of like a crutch. And like, you know, we always tried to keep Ella on a schedule. We always tried to keep her on a schedule. And as I'm sure anybody who knows who has traveled with children or heck, I mean, even seen other people travel with kids, it's not really that realistic to try to keep your child on the same schedule and normal routine that they do when they're home. And vacations are, when you think about it, vacations are when you vacate your life.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out a very special on-the-road episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are coming to you from our lovely Airbnb here in
Derry, New Hampshire.
Derry, New Hampshire. Thank you. So we are about, we're almost, I think, two-thirds of our way through our little autumn time, fall season
I don't know vacation. Where you're going with this.
Sorry. Yeah. So we had a little vacation plan as we were talking about on a couple episodes ago. They come up here and had a wedding to go to in Maryland, and then up in the New England area, New Hampshire, Mass, and Vermont area to visit your family and friends.
Yep, we did a two-leg trip, which I don't know if I'm ever going to do again small child.
Yeah, that was a little ambitious of us, but so far so good. You know, as far as I know, this not quite the normal episodes you usually hear, but as far as training recap, a lot of going to airports, I think that was probably a lot of our fitness. But we did get one, like, mobility session in.
We did.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday morning?
We had Ella went down for like 1 hour and 45 minute, 2 hour nap in the afternoon on Saturday. And we had flown, you know, we traveled all day Friday, and we were all kinds of cramped. And, like, our muscles were just a mess. So, getting a little bit of movement in, and you actually did some yoga. You did some yoga poses.
You put yourself. Me through a flow.
I did.
Yeah, that was good. It was a lot of good stuff. A lot of stuff I was familiar with, but then there was some, I'm trying to think. I like the flow from how to, like, transition from one leg to the next instead of staying in the same kind of direction, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But kind of transferring almost like a standing straddle from one side to the next.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that, even though we face away from each other, so it was hard for me to kind of pay attention to you. But
especially since I was whispering the whole thing because Ella was asleep, like,
a few feet away.
Maybe, yeah, like 6 feet away.
Yeah, but that was good. And then we started to do, try to do tricks. And you did a handstand with the wall assist. And then I did a headstand. And then
you did, surprisingly, for someone who says, like, they've not done that before, you were very impressive.
Well, I'm pretty impressive. So I don't know why he's extra surprised, but and then you did a little side crow action.
Yes,
you taught me how to do crow, regular crow, and then did some side crow.
Yep, and then I did some side crow, which I've not been able to really attempt in a super long time because the last time I was in a class that it was included in was when I was in teacher training, and I happened to be pregnant, and you can't do, it's very difficult to do those arm balances when you are pregnant because you have a belly in the way.
Yep.
So I was actually really excited to do that. It was not a good situation. I didn't, like, do a great side crow or anything, but it was just nice to know that I was, like, working towards it again.
Yeah, I was very, very impressed. Hopefully we can get to do that again before we have to take off on Friday.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but
we'll see. Yeah. I know. But like you said, it was a good trip. The first leg in Maryland with my brother and his wife, who just had a baby 3 months ago. So we got to meet her for the first time. Ella got to meet her first cousin and, you know, hang out with her aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I was thinking, you know, obviously you and I have a little bit of a, I don't know what the word is, but it's like, seems that we always kind of try to exude that we take, you know, health and fitness and nutrition very seriously. And I think people sometimes think we take it maybe too seriously. And I only say that because, like, whenever people are saying, hey, we're having this for dinner, but it's not vegan. And I'm like,
oh, well, yeah.
We're not vegan, so it doesn't matter.
I know. People think we have, like, really outrageous, like, extreme diets.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Right.
We eat like normal people.
Yeah. We try our best to stay away from, like, processed stuff and all this thing. But, like, normal, you know, like, it was... the one thing that we couldn't get past was the milk we bought for Ella.
Right.
The Ripple.
Yeah.
And I say, quote unquote, milk. Because no, it's not milk.
It's not technically called milk.
Yeah. It's a milk like product, I guess.
It's a, it's a pea protein beverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and like I said, we told them a couple times that our pediatrician was approved of it because we were looking for a non dairy option for Ella.
Yeah. Specifically, she has plenty of cow's milk, and it's one of those things where I don't think that we're crazy people, like, you know, like we do insane things with food or have unrealistic demands or anything like that. I think it's more that we're just so hyper aware of the food that we eat, like, because we really have worked hard to educate ourselves on not just what's healthy food and what's not, but how food is, like, prepared and sourced. Like, we've gone through and learned a lot about that.
Right.
So we absolutely care what we put into our bodies in that respect. Like, we've learned it, so we apply it to what we eat.
Yeah.
And I think it's very easy in our culture to just not pay attention to that stuff. So it's like, we know, you know, the processed items versus the whole items. Like, we always try to choose towards the whole items. And I don't think, you know, that's probably just not the norm.
Right.
So people think, like, oh, they're vegan. Like, they have this high maintenance diet because they don't eat the processed foods and all that stuff. And we have, but we just try not to eat a lot of it. And we try to keep it balanced, which is the same thing we're doing for Ella.
I hope people aren't thinking, I hope the connotation with vegan also and unprocessed food is kind of going hand in hand, because I would hate, not that I'm anti-vegan, but we're definitely, you know, definitely eat animal products. So I don't want people to think, like, I don't know, do you think when people think vegan, they think unprocessed foods?
I think they think salads and, like,
yeah, I guess so.
I think they think raw.
Yeah,
like,
it could be true.
They think raw foods and... You're eating a lot of tofu, and
that's one of the most processed food there is, though. Tofu.
I know. Well, and the thing is, when I was vegan, I was not as, like, really healthy of an eater, because I was not as educated on, like, processed. And a lot of vegans I saw, they ate a ton of processed foods.
Yeah, I think there's a lot better options now. I'm kind of getting off.
There's a lot better options.
Because I wanted to stick on the topic you brought up, kind of. I, you know, with me, I love going on tangents. But, you know, getting Ella quality food at all times.
Yeah.
And we try to do that even on this trip, too. We've done a pretty good job, but we tried to even do it while she was on the airplane. So we packed some snacks for the first leg of her flight, of our first flight, excuse me, out of Florida to Maryland. And, you know, we kind of stick with the things we normally send to school with her, being like a hard-boiled egg, some cucumbers, and some hummus.
Yeah, we basically pack things that we also would pack for ourselves, and it would be fine.
Yeah, and that's like normally what she takes to lunch to school, which is another topic I don't know if we're going to get on to about school lunches.
No, not today. Not today, folks.
Not today, apparently. But, yeah, so we tried to, we didn't try. We did our best to feed Ella the the snack on the airplane, which was the hard-boiled egg and the hummus and cucumber. And it was I mean, she loves all those things, but I wouldn't say it would be airplane appropriate.
The boiled egg especially was not airplane appropriate.
And honestly, she didn't go after the hummus as much, which was, I think, a blessing in disguise, because we've seen when she eats hummus before, it usually gets everywhere.
Yeah,
on hair, her face, in her hair, yes.
Everything she touches.
So I think now we know, you know, yep. it's a learning, this trip has been nothing but a learning, is that the right way to say it? It's definitely been a learning
experience.
Thank yeah. you. All those tough words, like experience. we learned maybe something a little bit more streamlined and neat and easier for her to eat. Not, you know, spreadable messes that crumbly messes that can go on the floor. And luckily, nobody voiced any displeasure with it. But you know,
no, we cleaned up after ourselves for the most part, but. I was also a little concerned about the smell.
Yes, me too.
You know, the egg smell, the egg, which I didn't really think about once, you know, we started making a mess and we're scrambling to try to clean it up. It was a little, I was like, oh man, someone's probably giving us the stink eye right now.
Yes.
Wondering what that smell is.
I know. And we were even concerned about that because we also made a rice cake with peanut butter and we took it on the airplane.
Yeah, we ended up giving it to her.
Yeah, I was concerned that because I read some message boards before we got on the plane about, you know, some flights they ask you not, you know, if it's a peanut-free flight, they won't even let you bring, you know, if you bring a sandwich with peanut butter on it, they ask you not to eat it. You know, so there's nothing on the websites, but, and there's nothing on TSA's website, but we just didn't even risk it because we know I've heard horror stories with people who have really bad peanut allergies who go on flights and have kids who have anaphylactic shock on the plane just because there was peanuts the flight before. You know, I that's a real thing, and we didn't want to be cause of that, so we didn't even let her have that while she was on the plane. But luckily, she's been eating good and on the other times, and we just visited in a little apple orchard today. So she got to, and we're in New Hampshire now, so she got to pick some apples and stuff like that with us. So that was fun. What else we got planned for the rest of the trip besides seeing family?
It's mostly seeing family because we only have really like 1 day left.
Right, that's true.
A day and a half.
Yeah, and another thing I think we were talking about beforehand that it's kind of we discovered on this trip is that we didn't have to keep a schedule. You know, we made plans, but it's like I said, we've discovered it's not crucial that we have to stay on schedule all the time.
Well, yeah, I think as parents of a child who, you know, we utilized schedules and routines as kind of our sanity, you know, just in the first year of Ella's life, you know, we took an approach that was very scheduled and, you know, the routines were very specific. And I think that it became sort of like a crutch. And like, you know, we always tried to keep Ella on a schedule. We always tried to keep her on a schedule. And as I'm sure anybody who knows who has traveled with children or heck, I mean, even seen other people travel with kids, it's not really that realistic to try to keep your child on the same schedule and normal routine that they do when they're home. And vacations are, when you think about it, vacations are when you vacate your life and you vacate your usual routine and your usual schedule. And I don't know, I personally have felt like this trip has been good because the biggest thing that I've learned is to let go of the schedule.
Yeah.
And let go of the routine, you know, like thinking, well, I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do my yoga and have my hot water with lemon and take a shower before she gets up. And then we have like a very specific routine. Yeah. And then this is what happens. She naps at this time. And like my life is very scheduled as well as a result. And I think it, with the exception of bedtime, we really allowed the routine to kind of relax. And for ourselves as much as for Ella, like, it's just as about making sure that we all get what we need in terms of food and rest and all of that, and not get so stuck in we have to nap at this time of day, we have to eat specifically at this time of day. I think Ella's been really like a grazer. Like, she's kind of more grazed throughout the time periods when she's awake. And she's actually like preferred it that way. But it's because of our life and our schedule right now, like our absence of a schedule.
Yeah.
So with the exception of dinner and breakfast, the rest of the day is just kind of a go with the flow. And we center, I think it works because we center our day mostly on activity. You know, we're going to visit family, so we're walking around. Ella moves constantly, so we're always moving when we're not in the car. Today we went to an apple orchard. We hiked up like an orchard hill, walked around with her, and, you know, we got out and moved so that we don't feel as, you know, cramped and how we did when we were getting off a plane.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's important to just let go of that concept and that idea that we have to live by this schedule and routine, and that we're not happy if we don't, or like Ella's not going to be happy. I'm sure it's a lot in my head. Like, most people are like, well, of course, you don't have to do the same routine when you're on vacation. That's the point. Duh. But that's, like, been my life for the last year.
Yeah, no. And, I mean, it's good. We've seen the benefits of having her on a schedule, especially for sleeping through the night.
Schedules in your normal life, and, I mean, even people without kids, it's just like, you know, you have this routine, and it sometimes becomes less of a routine. It almost turns into a rut at times. And sometimes you have to know when to get out of your routine and just go with the flow and focus on important things, you know, like activities and things like that. So that you can still have a very healthy lifestyle, but it doesn't mean you have to be following your same normal routine.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And I think it's kind of a big achievement for us to get to the point where we don't have to rely on or like freak out about if we're not putting her down at this time. Obviously, when we get back to our kind of our when she's back to school and stuff like that, it's important to keep that, especially since she can function the beginning of the day, but
normal life.
Yeah.
It's,
I think when we're on vacation, like you said, I like you talking about vacating from your normal life. So
yeah.
I think it's important to have these vacations planned out. And we even did that, you know, we're trying to do two big vacations a year, you know, when we go see family, you know, go to Maryland, see my family, and go to the Northeast, this area, to see your family a couple times a year. So I think those planning ahead with that is also a good thing to kind of look forward to. So I think, I like all the things that we've discovered on this trip.
Yeah.
We've discovered a lot.
Well, you always hear, like, travel, whenever you travel, you don't have to go to faraway places. But it's always a time of, like, self-realization and exploration, too. Like, you're not just exploring a destination. You're kind of getting yourself out of your normal comfort zone. And that's where you really do your growth as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be something as simple as, you know, traveling to a place that you're maybe more familiar with, but in a different way. Like for us, it's traveling with a child now. It's completely changed everything.
Yeah.
But I think it makes us grow. We learn and we grow during that.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've read the studies, and it's I know, especially in this country, United States, it's vacation isn't given its proper due. I think the importance of it, even though there's several studies that came out and talk about how people who, you know, take multiple vacations a year live longer and And it's a very important thing. And I think we've discovered that it's great for resetting, maybe, you know, getting a little bit more perspective and seeing stuff, what you're missing when we're in that day-to-day life of, you know, yeah, constant schedules and yeah, getting to one place to the next. So this vacation was quite the experience there I got at that time.
You actually nailed experience, yes, that time. Nice. Good job. It's not a complicated word, but it was kind of eluding you.
Dare you. Eluding. Anyway, so we will be back next week with a regular episode, because it is a regular episode. Mm-hmm. We just didn't break down any type of scientific research or anything like that. But I think we was talking about the mental and benefits of vacation and not always having to stick to a constant routine. And then, of course,
our travel epiphanies.
Yeah, travel epiphany. Oh. Is that the title of this episode?
Travel Epiphanies.
There you go. Boom. You just nailed it. All right. You got anything else for him this week?
Yes.
What's that?
Cider donuts.
Yes, that was another reason. Another epiphany. Is that another travel epiphany?
That cider donuts are worth traveling for? Yes. Yeah. I knew that already, though.
Yes. If you guys have any more travel epiphanies, please let us know about them.
Your own personal travel epiphanies.
Yeah. You guys can reach us by contacting us on all our contact info is on addictedtofitnesspodcast.com, along with our weekly show notes. And also, you guys can give us a rating and review. In that review, leave your travel epiphanies in iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Now, yes. You got anything else for them this week?
Nada.
All right, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
This is the Addicted to Fitness Podcast from Shannon. What? Shannon's voice.
Definitely me.
This is a spot on impression.
You're insane.